from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. We're coming to you live from a blanket fort, so you can get comfortable within or upon or around your blankets. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots, and I know this is not an easy time for anybody. This episode was recorded a few months ago, so I just wanted to let you know that and to let you know to check our show notes for resources, because the podcast is here to put you to sleep, but there's more resources in our show notes if you're needing more. Please use those links. You're really important to me, so please use them. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the most disruptive part of the podcast, because it's the part of the podcast where I'm the most excited to thank all the listeners who supported our sponsors, which helps me bring you the show on a regular basis. I wanted to thank Allison, who is smelling so great because they supported Native. I am wearing vitamin C tween deodorant right now from Native, and oh boy, do I smell good. I'm also looking for anyone that's supported Whoop and Kiwi. I want to find out more about what KiwiCo subscriptions you listeners are using and how you're tracking your sleep and your activity with Whoop. So make sure to tag me and tag those sponsors and let me know about it so I can try to thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The next part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you. I have resources in the show notes if you need some extra help during this time. Use those links because you are the most important part of the show and the reason the show is here. The third part of the show, though, is me. The third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is me and what I support. And one of the things I support is Radiotopia. I know a lot of listeners listen to a lot of Radiotopia podcasts. I do, too. And that's why I try to support the work that Radiotopia does. There's amazing, amazing shows. There's too many shows to list. I may just have to break out all the shows over time. But Radiotopia, if you haven't listened to a Radiotopia podcast, it's taken all I can not to sing the Radiotopia tag right now. So that's something I support. I'm here to support you. But what do you say we get on with the show, oh Mystery Bard? Before we slow it down, there's people that help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. Don't forget, you can listen to Sleep With Me in your smart speaker. Just ask your smart speaker to play Sleep With Me podcast and then set a sleep timer. Thanks, everybody. And now let's slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature. Whatever's keeping you awake, normally for it can be generalized to things on your mind you're thinking about. That's usually number one for me, past, present, and future, spanning decades and events that have never occurred, may never. Okay, so thoughts, feelings, like emotions coming up. physical sensations, and then situational stuff, you know, moving, travel, anticipatory stuff. But whatever it is, it might not be any of those. If I missed it, let me know. But what we all share, in some sense, is the familiarity with the deep, dark night, the tossing and the turning and all that kind of stuff, with the tossing and the turning. So what I'm going to do is I have a nice, a safe place set aside. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to rub it down. I'm going to say safe place. Ideally, I'm going to make you feel welcome and comfortable by sending my voice across the deep, dark night using lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones. Creaky dulcets is a bit like a, it's like your favorite door. I think that's the thing. When you say, well, that's an older door that I like, that makes a creaky sound, that feels, that's a good, like, it comes from grandmother's bakery. Creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, that's like half-reared metaphors. I have never called it that before, but it's been written in one-star reviews from Metaphorist Magazine. The magazine, I don't know what it was for. Like, I said, wait a second, is this a magazine? Or, and that I sent in a letter to the editor, and I got that one back. Return to Sender. Is there a song, Return to Sender? Probably is. Maybe it was I think it was, this is a stretch, but it might have been on a long time ago. There was an episode of Simpsons where they had, what is that called, when four people are in a band together? Not doo-wop. Oh, almost like barbershop, barbershop quartet. I think they had a song, whatever, I don't know even who was in it. I've gone off the rails pretty quickly, but I think they may have had a song, Return to Sender. If they didn't, I'm sure someone else did, because I don't know who gives out the mail in The Simpsons. I haven't watched it, and also my, you know, anyway, what I'm going to do is, if you're new, welcome. Sorry about that. That was a pointless meander, and I guess my brain was trying to think of metaphor. Oh, trying to think of metaphor jokes about the Metaphorist magazine, magazine for metaphorists, Metaphor Weekly. That one, Metaphor Daily, they stopped publishing it. They went from Metaphor Weekly to Metaphor Monthly. I think I missed one stage in there. And now they're just available online behind a paywall. Only, I'm just kidding. What am I even, okay, so if you're new, sorry about that. I'm glad you're here. If you're new, I want to take some time to point a few things out and give you a little bit of some placemaking. As you may have already observed, the show kind of is a little bit different, goes off topic. It has trouble, like it's unfocused in a way. It's focused in an unfocused way. But here's a couple of things to expect. Structurally, what to expect if you're new is the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we make it free for everybody. Then, so it's not super important if you're new. Then there's an intro. The intros are around 12 to 15 minutes. It's kind of like an introduction, a foreword, and like when you have a book and it starts off, it has an introduction and a foreword. Ours are about that. Like you say, okay, that's like I just want to get to the book. You say, well, for the new people or people new to this volume of Metaphorist Weekly, this compendium of Metaphorist, the Metaphorist. Yeah, that was what it was called. That was a different one. That was a different place. I submit stories sometimes. That was to Metaphorist, Metafoo, however you spell forest with woods, with the trees, not the Phor, Forest. There might be two S's or two R's in forest, or maybe two T's. I have no idea. It may have been why that letter got returned. I think that was a magazine about magazines about forests, which is also interesting because it was printed on paper. So it's like, you want to talk about meta. You can't get any more meta than Metaphorist Magazine, you know, right down to what it's printed on. I think that's all the news that's fit to print on, things that are fit to print on, about things that are fit to print on. I don't know. I guess I'm not, I don't have quite the intellectual capacity to complete these jokes. I just have a chance to set them up for you, dear listener. Oh, if you're new, I have a tendency to go off the rails, especially during the intro. That's why it's like about 12 or 14 minutes. It's me kind of setting up and setting the mood for bedtime. And this is like, it can be a negative term, but in this, like my incompetence, I'm very confident and incompetent in my incompetence. So this is a positive incompetence, because if I contemplatively, or if I was good at getting to the point and completing words, I don't know if this podcast would be as effective. So the intro is kind of me proving that each time, but it just gives you a little bit of a familiar place. For regular listeners, you would think most of them would skip the intro, but only a small percentage of people who want to get to the story, they skip ahead to about 20 minutes and they just start listening to the story part. Or tonight, we'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. But the idea of the intro is it's part of your wind down routine, because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep, and I'm here to help ease you into bedtime, ease the day away, give you some distance, give you a place to breathe and get comfortable and get cozy. And so the intro is kind of that. Like, some people start listening as they're getting ready for bed, and some people wind down in bed. You could kind of figure it out as you you can figure it out as you go if you're new. But that's the, okay, so that's the intro. Then there's some business between the intro and the show, the story. That's just how podcast advertising works. And then there's the story. Tonight we'll be talking about an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation in a very oblique way, where you might not even know it was Star Trek The Next Generation. So if you're a Star Trek The Next Generation super fan, those are the only people that it kind of sometimes the episodes don't work as good for. But believe me, you can kind of kick back. I'll be talking about, it won't be any action. It'll be mostly summaries and then saying, I wonder what, you know, how, this is a question that's never come up, but it's how are the communicators, are they, how are they held on the shirt? I've never, you know, in reality, as a part of the, what do they call that, wardrobe, and then in space, do they still use pins, or do they use, is it magnets, or is it something else? You know, is it like some sort of reverse gravity, you know, graviton, some sort of gravity base to say, well, no, that would go down, Scoots. I'd say, well, what if it's a miniature gravity generator? Has anybody invented that yet? I think Marvel, that's one of the things that the non-heroes always come up with, is some sort of gravity-based, you know, gravity generator. Or if they haven't, there's an idea. So anyway, if you're new, but that's the structure of the show. Then there's some thank yous at the end. A couple other pieces. Don't take it seriously if you're new and you're skeptical. It's totally sensible. I mean, why wouldn't you be skeptical about a sleep podcast? And this is a lot different. It's very strange in a positive way. So give the show a few tries. There's also no need to try to listen to me. You could kind of passively listen. Let me like float by like clouds. You'd say clouds that are a bit goofy. You'd say, okay, if there was a clown college and they made clouds, or there was clouds coming out like of a soapworks factory, you'd say, well, those are different than the clouds I normally see. I don't even know. I guess that formed just like a cloud, that metaphor. But so, okay, so just to see how it goes, I guess, you don't need to pay attention, but here's the other thing about this podcast, which is strange for a sleep podcast. No pressure to fall asleep. I'm really here to keep you company as you drift off. That's why the podcasts are an hour. That's why I put a lot of work into it, because if you can't sleep, I'll be here till the very end. Or if you wake up in the middle of the night and you need a friend, a comforting voice, I'm here to help, because I've been there, tossing and turning. So, no need to listen. No need to pay attention and no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to help you by distracting you or whatever's keeping you awake. And yeah, like I said, if you're new, give the show a few tries, see how it goes. See if you like, I'm definitely something for a lot of people, you have to develop a taste for. And usually if you're already in the distaste, if you're in the, what is this? You know, that's kind of a good sign. If you're like skeptical, a podcast to put me to sleep, that's what Doreen said at the water cooler. Oh, hon, did I tell you we got a water cooler at work? Oh, what's that? Well, it's the first, unfortunately, it's the first one where you have to, it uses, you know, AirPay or whatever. So it's water, it's cold, and it's a gathering spot. Just like the watering holds, watering holds. Well, it is kind of like a watering hole because none of us want to pay for water. Yeah, we just kind of stand around there and chit-chat, and Doreen was telling me about this sleep podcast where the guy, and now I'm listening to it, and he's kind of pointing it out. He was pointing it out, dear, that, yeah, it's a strange thing. I was like, what do you mean? He's going to talk about nothing and put me to sleep? And Doreen said, not quite. He's going to barely talk about anything. Different than talking about nothing, believe it or not. He barely talks about anything while talking about everything. And I think he once created an imaginary miniature gravitational thingamajig, and instead of using it for either to be, well, he did want to be a hero. He's a sleep hero, and something with his, you know, he managed to only make it so that he could live within a paradox where you can talk about nothing, everything, and barely anything all at once in a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. But yeah, it does take a few tries, Doreen said, because it is different. And Scoots, you know, he's a bit like an underdog in underoos. And you say, what's an underoo, hun? Well, that's funny. One of the people at work that's Scoots's age was telling us about how Scoots talked about him, and that reminded them. It used to be themed, branded undergarments for kids, and maybe at some point adults. I'm sure it'll be making a comeback right away. If those gurus wanted to sponsor a sleep podcast, that would be brilliant. I don't know which VC company can't get their act together to pull that off. But anyway, I guess I'm serious. I just was thinking of that. How come underoos haven't made a comeback, huh? Can someone get Chris Sacca on the phone or somebody? For adults and kids. I didn't even realize it. I talk about underoos all the time because I never had them as a kid. Maybe I did have one pair, but they were like themed undergarments, your shirt, and then and you wore, I guess you wore them all. I always associated them with bedtime. Maybe you just wore them all the time. But anyway, so if you're new, yeah, I'm glad you're here. That's the main thing. I go off topic a lot. I make this show because, as I said, I would like you to get the sleep you need and deserve so you could be out there in the world flourishing and enjoying your life. And I'm glad you're here. If you're new, give the show a few tries, see how it goes. And if it doesn't work for you, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou is there with other options. But like I said, I'm glad you're here, and I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I'd really like to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by, and here's a few ways we're able to bring this podcast free to everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online.
Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, we're talking about season 4, episode 21, The Drumhead. And again, I wanted to try to keep up our Klingon and that other species culture whose name I already forgot. I'm sure. Oh, Romulans. Of course, Romulans. This episode starts off Captain's Log. They got a Klingon exobiologist on board, scientific exchange program. But he's involved in some trouble, a little breach, possible warp drive messing with it. And opens with Riker. Troy, you know, after the captain's log, Riker and Troy with the Worf looking on, interviewing this this person. He said, must be a mistake. They say, are you working with the Romulans? He has a very nice leather outfit on. Yeah, he did have a question, like, do Riker and Troy do all of these type of interviews, these interviews where people are... And then I said, is this the courtroom they're doing the interview in? He keeps saying he didn't do it. 12B9, deck 36. He was on the computer. Let's see what happens. Jadan. Schematic drawings. So he's like sending info to the Romulans, they think, or messing with the ship, or Andor. Too much, he said, I wasn't involved with the messing of the ship. He goes, you're just saying that because I'm Klingon. Worf says, what? Troy says, our chief of security is a Klingon, has nothing to do with it. He says, just send me home then. And Riker says, yeah, we already called home. Klingons are waiting for you as soon as we're done. Then he does a Jedi move where he says, I have nothing more to say here. And they see Worf bring him back to his room. Riker's got a serious look on his face. He says, what do you think? And Troy says, hard to tell. He's closed off, hiding something for sure. And then they're on the elevator, the two Klingons. He says, geez, Worf, you don't even exist on our home world. It's too bad. So sorry. Man without honor. And Worf says, like, when Scoot says men without ties don't dress for dinner. And they get off the elevator, walking down the hall. He says, hey, I got friends. I could clear it up back on our home world. I could talk to them, restore your name. And you just got to give me a shuttlecraft. He stops Worf all passive aggressive. He goes, yeah, I can get you out of trouble without knowing about it. Then Worf does a bunch of action moves. When they get in the ship, he goes, I don't know how you got this data off the ship to the Romulans, but I'm going to find out. And he goes, I'm going to tell the Klingon High Council all about it. So you're going to be in trouble at home too, Mr. Know-it-all. Let's see. Worf and Dudon lifts, all passive-aggressive. Worf tries to ignore powerful friends, help me get away. Oh, yeah, dude puts hand out and at the door to stop Worf. Once in the room, Worf schools him. Then the episode opens. There's the opening. Captain's log supplemental. We see two ships. Something about Admiral Seti. So I guess I got to look that up. I'm recording on location. I mean, I'm not on the road right now. So I'm going to look this up right now. So I'm going to pause it. Then there's intros all around. Okay, so I'm just going to do the facts in here. Let's see. I have here Nora Seti, S-A-T-I, Admiral Seti, Rear Admiral Seti. 24th century daughter of renowned Starfleet judge, civil liberties advocate Aaron Seti. She's a renowned investigator. There's a lot of family stuff in here. She worked, what does a rear admiral mean? That's one I look up here. A rear admiral was a flag officer rank used by naval organizations between the grades of Commodore and Vice Admiral. This rank was used by the Federation Starfleet and Earth Starfleet. Some systems use two tiers of rear admiral rank, rear admiral upper half and lower half. Wouldn't it be left and right half if we're talking about the rear? But I'm not, I mean, maybe, I don't know, Romulans have a different shape of rear? Or port, is that starboard? I guess they shouldn't be doing material right now, but... rear admirals such as James T. Kirk. So Kirk was a rear admiral. A lot of people say that about William, Bill Shatner, too. Okay, so that's just a little bit about Rear Admiral Seti that I in Rear Admirals. So the episode opens. Let's go through my notes here. And then we'll go through the tape. It starts with intros all around, but so Admiral Sati's arrived. We'll go through the dialogue. They say, let's get right to work. She has a staff of two, and she wants to inspect the engineering room right away. She meets Data and Geordi. 49 hang, a visual log, 49 something. Oh, 49 maybe, I don't know, visual log. 4 days ago, it's 0300 hours, somebody says, and she says, I think I'm going to need a full briefing. I put really breathy, maybe I said. Earl Grey, then she has a meeting with Picard. Earl Grey, and for her, she mistakes when he Klingon Romulan connection. She is withholding something, alliance versus business at hand. Worf shows up. She gives Worf a long look. Worf finds the optical reader. So he finds a way. He found the way that the other Klingon was getting the information off. And they can pass it on to other people. Kind of like what's that, like a 23 for, anyway, he says they could pass it on to somebody and they don't even know, like a micro dot type thing back in the day. Body top secret. Like you put a micro dot, it looks like somebody's freckles. So you'll freckle a micro dot with microfiche with secret information. I want you to contact Picard now. Picard has a questioning look on his face at 38, 35. She turns fast. Extremely valuable, that officer in this. Okay, so let's see what happened with the visuals. They say, okay, Captain's log, Admiral Seti's arriving. She arrives with two assistants, one who doesn't really speak, but does a lot of transcription, I think. Sabin Genestar from Beta Zed, and then Nellan Torre from Deleb 2, and then Riker gets to meet everybody. He bows his head. They say, how about going to your quarters? That's a common question. And everybody's common answer is, nope, let's get right to work. So I guess that might be a test on Starfleet. And then it says, Riker, seat of the staff. So Picard and the Admiral walk off. When Riker walks out of the room, he looks back at whoever was working the transporter. Commander LaForge, Commander Data, Data. Rad levels are dropping. Isolation doors down. They'll be able to get in 49 hours. They look at the visual log, which now they say, yeah, check the Nest Cam. You know, we got it all on there. It was a squirrel. This one, it's not. So 4 days ago, 0300 hours, warp drive flames out. Sensor log 4475.2, and it's inconclusive if it was a squirrel or a Klingon. Any assessments? Data says a slow motion study suggests articulation frame problem, and that was those are some of the schematics guy had. And Data says, well, we got other evidence. We got some plenty of circumstantial stuff. We're building a circumstantial case. Her eyes are wide. And she says, Captain, I need a full briefing. That's when she says that before we go any further. By all means, Admiral. She looks back in on the thing. She says, I don't envy you two with your jobs. Good luck. Then we get a shot of the Enterprise, and this is when the tea's getting made. So it looks like she takes her tea with milk, or tea, I don't know if they're both having Earl Grey, but hers is a paler one, where Picard's is, you know, his regular robust color. That's tough to tell. You know, it looks... It looks like a black tea, but, you know, we don't have any light behind it. Talking about, this alliance with the Klingons and the Romulans, possible alliance we keep hearing about. And now Worf comes in. Worf says, yo, yo, yo. Sorry, I didn't expect the Admiral here. Head of security, Worf. This is when Worf kind of says, yeah, here's how they did it, Microdot Freckle. Optical reader. He had the, optical reader part in there. And high-tech stuff, they had it, they used to have it in the Cold War. But then it was only fiction, He says, yeah, I'd be honored. She says, why don't you interview the dude? He says, I'll be honored. And then that's when she turns fast, when Picard has that look. She says, he's going to be extremely valuable. And we see the ship again. Worf's grilling the other Klingon. Trace says, Freckles, man. And I know something's up. I don't know what it is. Everybody's watching. Dude says, it doesn't prove anything. You don't have any real stuff. He goes, well, I found this in your room. The thing that puts Data in fake Freckles. Optical chip reader, only one function, reading of chips, in this case in Freckle form. And then the guy does a little bit of, you can't handle the truth type thing, and Romulans are strong, humans aren't, too much, too much empathy, too much compassion. Worf doesn't like that. And the Admiral says, everybody chill here. And she goes, what did you do to the dilithium chamber, dude? And he goes, nothing. And she goes, coincidence? I don't think so. You were dealing in the plans. And he goes, I didn't do that. And she goes, you're lying. He goes, not now. Not now. Maybe I was lying about that Freckle stuff, but not lying about that. And she says, Worf, take him away. And then we have Picard pulls his shirt down, stands, walks over. Herb Beta Zed says he's telling the truth about the Freckles. He goes, and I think about that he didn't do anything to the dilithium chamber. And then they say someone else might be involved. And then she says, dun, 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 Winter Soldier time, someone else. And they do a slow zoom to Picard's face. Let me see what else I got on here. My handwritten notes. Worf doing interview with Ambassador, her crew, you know, freckle reader. Case closed, Joe. That's what he says. You can't handle the truth. Like, weak, they say. How did you do that? It had nothing to do with it. Why lie now? Klingon has on command. Notice he had on a communicator. And they said, I don't know if everybody has one. It just stuck out to me. Okay, post-conference, Beta Z says it's telling the truth. Zoom, someone else involved. Picard, look. Then there's a commercial break. Then more tea time with Picard and the ambassador, this time from a pot. Picard takes one lump of sugar in his tea. Double question mark. She has some big glass tea prep or tea set. Oh, teardrop earrings. She has some big glass teardrop earrings. And they were getting along well, talking father. Oh, so her and Picard get along well for a little while. They talk about her father, one of Picard's heroes. She says, all that I am, I owe to him. And he says, you must miss him. And she gets honest. We were quite a team. Or we could be. Oh, she gets honest. I think she says, well, you know, I'll go to the dialogue here and the video. But I think she says, I usually am a lone wolf. But now I think we could be a good team. And Picard smiles. Okay, let's see what the video shows here. We see the Enterprise. We get a rear admiral view of that. They're in her room, so she's bringing the tea over. So it's an interesting thing. Picard prefers his tea straight in a glass. Some people prefer pouring their tea. Picard's hands are crossed. Great, some nice plants in her room. Her tea set's interesting, too. It's like purple, green, and yellow, and red. So some nice colors. So I wonder if, like, what's that thing called? The molecular constructor or whatever decides, do that. She says, yeah, my father told me to avoid partnerships. I said, well, sounds like I've said the same thing. No partnerships, period. He was talking about in business, though. And noticing now, though, I think her earrings are flat, and then they're not exact. They're teardrop shaped, but not 3D. And then they have some etching on the inside. I can't tell if it's a bouquet of flowers, or I thought it might have been something else. Picard really worked, like he says, he works the compliments. He goes, oh, I bet you're the best debater in your family. Then there's an emotion, where I said, geez, I miss my dad. He was the best. And this is when she says, and her eyes are new, like really great acting again. This is a tough role because this is a really, I watched this episode a few times, like a year or two ago, and it was like a really ranging role. Then we have Picard and, I forgot the name of the Betazoid gentleman, but, they're kind of going over their notes, talking. He says, geez, I don't mind telling you, I'm surprised. I heard your father was a man with no name. And you were a singer of Men Without Ties Don't Dress for Dinner. And he was the one who helped the Romulans. And Picard goes, it's nobody's business but my own, dude. And he goes, well, I had to think, I have to suspect everybody, but I don't suspect you anymore. So I told the Admiral that you don't have to prove you're loyal. Worf goes, don't worry, man. I'm on this. I'm looking into it. He has a serious Worf look. And that guy goes, good. We're counting on you, Lieutenant. And Worf goes, yeah, I'm going to get right back to work. Don't worry. Serious look from the Betazoid, dude. Now we're back in court. And who's on the stand being questioned? And this is in an unofficial capacity, I believe. But Dr. Crusher, she's kind of kicked back, relaxed. And they said, geez, so you met with this dude. He was under your care. He had a lot of questions about freckles. And they go, yeah, it didn't seem like any big deal. He was a pleasant enough character, didn't have much to say. They go, thank you. I think they do say, like, who else did you work with? They go, bring in the next dude, medtech, soon to be furrowed eyebrow, Tarsus. And he sits down. They say, what's your name and position? Crewman first class, medical technician. I was right on my guess there. Garrett says, don't worry, this is totally informal, totally relaxed. You saw how chill Beverly was. And they said, if you want counsel, he goes, no, I got nothing to hide. And maybe he didn't know there was a Betazed in there, or Betazoid. They go, the Admiral says, geez, you were from Mars Colony. Life on Mars. She goes, are you human? He goes, largely. He goes, I was also Vulcan. And he goes, these Vulcaneers are so fake. They go, well, what was up with you and the Klingon? You used to talk to him, huh? He goes, yeah, I was helping him. He goes, yeah, of course we talked. They said, does everything say anything strange? And he goes, no. And they said, do you ever see him outside of sick bay? He goes, yeah, and tend forward, but I didn't hang with him. He was with a group of people, but I wasn't involved. Everybody gets a weird look on their face there. And he goes, you're excused. No more questions. He's a kid. He looks very, Picard scratches his temple. He says, Mr. Worf, and then the Betazoid, he says, he's lying. He's hiding something. Picard goes, yeah, he's a kid. And they say, well, it wasn't truthful. He's covering something up, and he goes, I think this is it. And based on my hunch, this is the person we're looking for. And Picard goes, oh boy. And then it fades out. I don't know if it went to a commercial. Yeah, but yeah, Betazoid and Worf, they look at a screen. That's what I was talking about earlier. I am strongly motivated in this matter. That's one thing Worf says. The Betazoid notes about his father. No one's concerned. Got nothing to prove. I will find a conspiracy if there's one on board. We're counting on you. Stares after Worf. Dr. Crusher, then next up was Mr. Tarsus, a young first-class medtech, informal inquiry, 43587, something, born on Mars, that's what we said this all. No relationship. I think that was with I'm forgetting so many things. He says, I worked with him a few times, see him out 10 forward with a group. The group thing, that caught my attention. But they're too busy with other stuff. Picard rubs his temple. I liked that. Then there's a commercial. Then we get in the ready room. Glass ship in his office. So I guess I'll come back and do these. It'll be easier if I look all this up later. Back and forth, Picard sighs and stands. We can't wait for evidence. That's what this admiral's saying. Picard says no. So we'll run through the dialogue in a second here. She really guilts Picard. Geordi finds something interesting. So he calls up, and then Geordi and Data explain that basically it was just a defect in the engine. She plays it very softly. Just a defect in the hatch cover, yeah. And of course, she plays soft, but then they don't buy it. No, it's probably not. Just a roll. There is no. I can't stand it. I know you planned it. I'm going to set it straight. This Watergate. There was no SABATOGE. They go, well, this guy's got Confederates on board. Also, I wondered if this assistant types everything, and whom are they? Worf and I are a great team. That's what the Betazoid says. They will establish Sabian's innocence. That's mispronounced. Says a kid's innocence. Picard answers. Picard something. Oh, Picard appears. The courtroom is packed with onlookers, so Picard's not happy. She likes, she likes to have people there. And then she starts grilling Dr. Crusher. Guard has an aside. Betazoid gets a call and leaves. This is total courtroom drama 101. He gets a call and has to leave the courtroom or something. Or whatever. He does the old fake piece of evidence. Riker objects. This isn't Dr. Crusher. At some point, they're interviewing the young guy. And the dude goes deep. And then he says, I refuse to answer, because it turns out he's part Romulan, not Vulcan. And then there's like an oh snap before the commercial. Let's see the run through here. Yeah, we got the Enterprise, Picard in his office talking to the Admiral. Hey, sit down. Get comfortable. I'll sit down too. She says, yeah, I got to tell you. Oh, Picard says, I'm not a... No action against Tarsus on gut instinct, Betazoid intuition. She goes, well, Sabin, oh, that's Sabin's the thing. Guy goes, you can't use a Betazoid stealth. And they go, you got a Betazoid. And he goes, there's a difference between a counselor and an investigator. Come on, she's helping. She's using her skills for help. And they go, well, use her in interrogations. Guy goes, yeah, I guess so. But he goes, I don't act just on instinct alone. Didn't you watch the episode where Geordi taught Data about the differences? And he goes, you're asking to kind of take Mr. Tarsus based on, he goes, I can't accuse him of something based on nothing. And she creates an old straw person argument. Oh, what if this was Troy? Wouldn't you keep an eye on him? And he goes, I keep an eye on him. And he goes, maybe I should reevaluate my behavior. And she goes, let's keep our priorities straight. We're trying to uncover stuff on the ship. It's a red alert, you know. I don't know. We're living this episode in some sense. She goes, I want continuous surveillance on this kid. And that's when Picard gets up and starts pacing, goes to his fish tank. He said, if we had clear evidence, and she goes, we will have clear evidence once we bust him. Sabin and Worf are on it. But she goes, we got to act now, before, not later, when we have proof. And Picard goes, no, he's the king of boundaries, man. He goes, I'm not going to treat somebody like they did something wrong unless they do. And she goes, well, you're just so generous, Snowflake. And he's not a snowflake, so he just glares. She goes, what if next time it's more serious? And she goes, can't you? And then that's when Geordi calls. They say, hey, get down here right away. We got some breakthrough in the case. And that's when Geordi and Data say, yeah, this is a blown hatch, defective hatch, or hatch frame. And we analyze this, 100% defective, submicron, you know, just one of those ones. They blame McKinley Station. They replace it with something. Undetectable defect, Data does say. So not really blaming anybody, just saying the facts where it happened. The Betazoid doesn't buy it. He says, I find an accident hard to believe. And Picard goes, when my staff says something, they mean it. The Admiral, she says, just because there wasn't something damaged doesn't mean there's not a conspiracy. So this is like the drumhead. This is a really, really deep episode. Yeah, and they say, what about, who knows? And Picard says, man, this is a lot of pressure on Jean-Luc here. And Worf says, we got to look into this. He is hiding something. I say, okay, we'll look into it. And Picard goes, let's get this over with as quick as possible. And then we see the Enterprise again. Doors open. That's when the court is packed with the onlookers. Picard's like, you gotta be kidding me. This is my ship. And he goes, with spectators. And she goes, yeah, it's open sunshine. You know, it goes, keeps the rumors flowing. And she goes, you know, we gotta, she's misusing this use of sunshine. She says, you know, keeping a light on everybody and everybody's eyes is better. And this poor young guy, he's up there. He's already a little bit under stress. So Picard looks up his info. Crewman Simon Tarsis, they go, okay, now you have us. I assigned you a counsel, William Riker, who nods. He goes, I don't need it. He goes, he didn't do anything wrong. And they go, Dr. Crusher, did this guy talk to Jadon? And she goes, yeah, when he was working with him. And she goes, they go outside of sick bay, and they go, maybe at 10 forward, there's, you know, people talk there. And they go, I don't understand. It's like a social gathering. And she goes, why do you hesitate to give us those names? And Picard goes, she goes, tell us everyone who's there. And Picard goes, you know, if you have a case to make against Tarsis, make it now. Otherwise, I'm putting a stop to this pony show. And then the Betazoid stands up, Sabin or whatever. He says, he goes, do you ever work with Freckles? He goes, because any dexoribos stuff? And the kid gets really nervous. He goes, yeah, we all do. And he goes, are you sure you didn't? He goes, don't you have access to the whole sick bay, everything, including dexoribos Freckles? He goes, there's evidence that was what was messed up the engine. Is something that was in sick bay. The guy goes, I don't have anything to do with that. He goes, how can we believe you? Because meanwhile, the dude's lying. And he says, you're a liar. And Riker objects for calling him a liar. Guard agrees. He goes, you know, the guy goes, you know, I'm trying to work my case here. He goes, did you lie when you applied to the Starfleet? On your application, isn't it true your grandfather is a Romulan? And then the guy gets really upset, and Riker says, don't say anything. They say, we're waiting. And he says, on the advice of my counsel, I'm not going to say anything because it's going to incriminate me. And that's when it says, oh, snap, and goes to commercial. And we get a series of shots of the Admiral, Picard sighing. And then grimacing, and then that's when the ad goes, the break, and then we get the Enterprise flying by, and we have a meeting with the Worf's crew. They go, I want to know everything where Tarsis has been. Meanwhile, Picard's walking in the room, they go, we want to know everybody, his friends, anybody he talked to back in the day, polygraphs, and Picard goes, Worf, I got to talk to you, man. And Worf goes, everyone's dismissed. Get your reports to me as soon as possible. And they walk off. Picard sits down. And Worf looks away, looks back. They make eye contact. And he goes, don't you see what's happening, Worf? And Worf goes, what do you mean? And he goes, this is like a drumhead. He goes, this is a thing. He goes, it's not a metaphor. So Scoot's got to create one. 500 years ago, people used to tap on a drum and it would get on people's nerves. Instead of working stuff out in a logical manner based on the facts, they would just do that. And Worf goes, well, he admitted he lied on his application. And they go back and forth. Kirk says, yeah, he made a mistake. It's not a, we can't infer he did anything else. And actually, we can't even infer that because he didn't answer if he, and Kirk goes, well, he wouldn't tell the truth. And Kirk goes, we're not sinking to that level. The seventh guarantee is one of the most important rights granted by the Federation. You cannot take a fundamental principle of the Constitution and turn it against somebody. And Worf's like, I'm more on it. We got to seek out whoever's up to no good. And Picard goes, that's how it starts, man. From legitimate road, you know, to logic and fact to rampant. He goes, it's not short. He goes, something's wrong and I don't like what we've become. And he storms out of the room. Picard has to take a breath and pucker his face. And let's see. Then we see, Picard meeting with Tarsis, having tea out of a pot, like a porcelain style pot. And Picard goes, tell me a little bit about yourself, Mars Colony, eh? He goes, yep. He goes, I wanted to get to be in Starfleet, though, since I was a kid. I really wanted to. He goes, I was going to go to the academy, but I trained as a med tech, served on outposts. And he goes, the day I got posted on the Enterprise was the happiest day of my life. And he goes, yeah, I didn't want to wait to become an officer. He goes, my parents wanted me to, and I thought about it. But he goes, I used to sit under this big tree on the parade grounds. And Picard goes, oh, I know that tree. With the elm bench? He goes, yeah. It was my favorite place to study. Me, that was my thinking spot, Tarsus says. I used to watch the drills and imagine I was an officer. And he goes, I know it would have made my mom happy, but Picard goes, you didn't do it. He goes, nah. He goes, I was 18 and eager, man. Wanted to be out in the stars, and I was spending 4 years on the ground in a classroom. It's a really romantic thing, and it takes Picard aback, you know. He's got a H-E-A-R-T, and you can see where his eagerness, and he goes, that's it, right? He goes, I'm losing my career, huh? He goes, no West Crusher move for me. And he goes, that was a big mistake, you know, not saying I was Romulan, but I wouldn't have gotten in if I didn't, probably. You know, Picard has to take it deeper. Man, what acting this is. Holy moly. Then we're in the hall with the investigation with the Admiral saying, just Worf's going to check out Mars Colony, do a background check. And Picard interrupts them, rolls up behind them. He goes, I'd like to have a word with you in private, off the record. And she's a little taken aback. And she goes, oh, well, you're my partner in this. And she sends the assistant on the way. And she goes, I can't believe this. And Picard goes, yeah, I'm putting a stop to this. Too far. It's gone too far. You can't lie in court. Because it only happens in the movies. And not on my ship. You're hounding an innocent man. And she goes, how'd you figure that out? And he goes, I talked to him. And she goes, well, I see. I'm sure he gave you a story about snowflakes. I see, man, that's like one of my, that's just one of my sore spots when people say that. And he goes, yeah, he goes, he made a mistake. It doesn't make him anti-Starfleet. And she goes, you're naive, Jean-Luc. She's the one pacing now, Picard's sitting there. And she goes, you know how I've been, you know what I've been doing the past 4 years? I've been going from planet to starbase to planet. No home. I live on starships and shuttles. Saving the world. I haven't seen a family member in years. I got no friends, just a purpose. You know, when I was a little girl clutching a blanket, you know, I was, she goes, this is an institution my father was a part of, and that was my cause, to just preserve this extraordinary union. Picard's looking on like in dismay, and she goes, I'm not enabling you to block this. She should have been in those first three extra Star Wars movies. Because she could play a Sith Lord, a Lordess. And Picard goes, no, these hearings are stopping. I don't care what you say. He goes, I'll go to Starfleet Command. And she goes, I got news for you. I've been telling them everything. And the hearings are not stopping. We're expanding them. And he goes, what? And she goes, yeah, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, even if it means investigating every single person on this ship, including you. And she goes, public hearings. Admiral Thomas Henry is going to be there from Starfleet. He's on his way. Her goes, you got to be kidding me. She goes, yeah, I don't report to you. I report to Starfleet Command. I don't need your permission for anything. And she spins and walks off. And Picard, she gets the door. He goes, what you're doing here is wrong, unethical, immoral, and I'll fight it every step of the way. She goes, do what you must, Captain. So will I. And Picard stares after her for quite a few minutes. Then we see the ship again. We're at the bridge. Warp engines are back online, ready to restart the engine. Picard's distracted. He can't even hear Data. Data goes, sir, can you hear me? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, go ahead, Data. Walks back to his seat. Riker looks at him. He knows something's up. He goes, you all right, boss? He goes, yeah, well, I'm a little preoccupied, number one. Then the transcriptionist says, you've been ordered to court tomorrow, 0900. You're appearing before the committee. And Picard is stunned as he looks at his summons. They zoom and goes to commercial on a pause from him. Yeah, let me see my other notes. Drumhead trial. Worf meeting with his crew. Dismissed. Picard sits with Worf. Do you see what's happening? Let's see. There's no, not a crime. Worf's intense. Oh, yes, that is how it starts. Picard stands. I don't like what we're becoming. Picard and Tarsus and tea with lemon. I think there might have been lemons there out of a teapot, white with black or navy mugs. Elm tree. I don't know what that is, with a cucumber bench. Oh, no, that was the elm tree that they're talking about. A circular bench. A big Picard sigh at the end. Ambassador and the assistant walking. Picard walks up behind them. She ignored Picard for a while. She did like a power move where she pretended she couldn't hear him. In private, off the record. In the office, she walks around the office with Grace touching things. My cause. She goes, doubt me and regret it. And then Picard stands, lays down the law. Her chin is up. Hearings will be expanded. Admiral Thomas Henry. Picard says everything I said, he said. Yeah, Picard spaced out on the bridge. Riker concerned, preoccupied. Picard gets served. He does what? Double question mark. Okay, so we'll run through that with my notes and we'll run through the actual... do not confuse this proceeding. Picard uses innuendo, I think. I liked that. We find out Picard has violated the Prime Directive 9 times. She uses some Riker language. She says, surprise, H-E double hockey sticks out of me. Looking into those reports, she questions his commitment to Starfleet, nods at the Betazoid. It was great stuff. I beg your pardon. Let me refresh your memory. I don't think we need the preamble. Romulan spy. Something 30. Left Picard, Riker Flair. I don't know. I'll look that up. My handwriting's. Worf interrupts. Where your Betazoid, Worf to the court, Romulan collaborator. Your reward. Oh, then she talks about the whole time with the Borg that Picard spent. How much was it? 39 ships, 11,000 peeps. She says, how do you sleep at night? It's 6:15. I guess that's left in the episode because this was one of the few episodes I watched on Netflix. I usually watch them on Prime for some reason. Oh, so that's why my timing's off. 7:30, there's a good Riker glare. Left in the episode, then 6:15 left in the episode. I said, this must be one of the Picard memes, not the one where he's, I don't know, you could look at it with the hand on his forehead, not the one where he's upset. This one was more like, oh boy, Yeah, Picard drops some Papa Santi on her. She says, how dare. It's a really good court. I mean, Star Trek really has good courtroom scenes. I don't know what Raymond Burr or Aaron Burr would say about it, but Romulans, she goes off the rails, and the Admiral Henry's like, he gets a great look of like, what? And then he's like, so it's so absurd. He walks out. It's like she should be meeting. They should have brought in Counselor Troy right away to say, hey, maybe you should talk to her. And I have nothing to say. Even her Betazoid is stunned. So he says, okay, it's time for a recess. And then Whispering Court. The Whispering Court empties. It's her alone. And then Picard is in the conference room staring out the window, and Worf comes in, and the episode ends. But don't worry, we'll run through it in a deeper way here. Okay, so we have Captain Log, Supplemental, Admiral Thomas Henry's worked closely with Santi in the past. Who's your full name? Jean-Luc Picard. Rank and position, Captain, Federation Enterprise. 3 years have been on the ship since 4-1-1-24. And Picard goes, I want to make a statement. And she says, if you have a statement, you can make it later. And he goes, no. He quotes it. He goes, I have the right to make a statement before questioning begins by law. He goes, sorry, I have to drop science on you. He goes, I'm concerned about what's happening. He says it looking at the ground at first. Slow build. Started when we, you know, thought someone was up to something with freckles, and he got in trouble for it. But it couldn't end there, you know. Another guy lied on his application. That was a trial. And he goes, that was a sham. Insinuation. An innuendo. And he goes, there was anything so substantive about that or proven. He puckers his lips. He goes, yeah, his grandfather was Romulan. Since when is that? And that's it. His career's cost him his career. And he goes, if we become so fearful and so quick to point the finger that just because one mistake, that's it. He goes, just because he's related to a Romulan or is a Romulan. And he goes, let's not condemn Tarsus or anyone else because of their bloodlines or investigate others for innocent associations, having friends. I implore you, don't continue with this proceeding because he knows he's got her outclassed. And he goes, end it now. Admiral Henry looks on like, oh boy. And she goes, well, what about the Prime Directive you broke 9 times? General Order Number 1, is it not? He goes, what's your point? She says, oh, well, you broke it 9 times since you took over the Enterprise. And she goes, yeah, that's a hockey stick thing. Even Worf surprised. And he goes, well, the circumstances. And she goes, yeah, we're looking into that. We're going to run some things very closely looking into it. And then we'll have more questions for you about your commitment to Starfleet. And we see Tarsus's face. Then the Betazoid gets up. He goes, yeah, what happened? Oh, first he goes to slow build about the Borg stuff. They say, hey, didn't you help a Vulcan get to Romulans? He goes, no, that was a trick. It was near the neutral zone. She wasn't Vulcan, though. She was Romulan, and you still gave her the Romulan. You gave her back to the Romulans. It was a Romulan spy. And they go, why, when you knew that, didn't you take out the ship or something? Because she was on the other ship. And everybody starts getting looks like a Crusher, Worf. Worf stands up. He says, you can't just enter into, because Captain Picard did everything his best. And she goes, where were you? Aren't you in charge of security? And Worf is like, what? And then they say, oh, isn't your father with the Romulans, Worf? Picard goes, so settle down, Worf. Papa Picard's got this. Don't worry. And they talk about the Borg. And they, you know, play it. Oh, it must have been so hard, you know, that you did it. You know, how do you sleep? Guard looks down. That's when he puts his hand on his head, that I think is one of the memes. She goes, I got to question your judgment, your loyalty. And he rubs his forehead. Then he takes a breath. He goes, yeah, he goes, there are some words I've known since I was a schoolboy. Within the first link, the chain is formed. The first speech censored. The first thought forbidden. The first freedom denied. That chains us all irrecoverably. He said it, you know. He goes, as your papa, Judge Aaron Sati, or Santi. And she goes wide-eyed at that. He goes, the first time any person's freedom is trodden on, it hurts us all. It's pretty straightforward. He goes, that's what's happening. She goes, what? She goes, you are a Romulan consort, and you're using my father's name. Calls him a traitor. Goes right off the rails. Picard looks up. She goes, you subvert the Federation. My father was great. His name's Integrity and Principle. And you shouldn't even be saying it. And she says, he loves the Federation, you don't. And she goes, I'm exposing you for what you are. And that's when the dude stands up and leaves, the other admiral. She goes, I'm taking you down. He doesn't even say anything or look at anybody. He just walks out of the courtroom. Then everybody gets a shocked look on their face. She knows she's lost her case. Ain't gone too far. She looks down. Riker, we got Riker look. She's kind of trembling. She goes, I got nothing more to say. And she slowly sits down. The mouth of the Betazoid opens. He kind of looks like he just sucked on a lemon. He calls recess. And Picard just says, Picard's look is very unhappy on his face. He didn't want to do it probably either. But yeah, he goes, I had to do what had to be done, I guess. Everyone gets up and leaves. And just the transcription. Then the transcriptionist leaves and the courtroom is emptied. One Game Boy looking thing on the table. Then we see the Enterprise again. And Picard's looking out the window of the conference room. Worf comes in. Hey, bothering you, Captain? He goes, no, come on in, Worf. And he says, Mr. Worf. Worf walks up next to him. And he says, it's over. Admiral Henry said those. He goes, no more hearings. And Picard goes, that's good. Worf looks down. He goes, Admiral Satie's gone. Yeah, that's good too. Picard gets close to the window. He goes, geez, we think we've come so far from the past with all that, you know, not great human stuff. But then in a blink of an eye, could restart. Worf looks down, shakes his head. And he goes, I bought into it, boss. I helped. And he goes, I didn't see what it was. And he goes, well, she's a Sith Lordess. And he goes, not everybody twirls their mustache and is easy to spot. Those who clothe themselves are, you know, well camouflaged. And Worf goes, I think after yesterday, maybe people won't buy in as quick. Ricard goes, maybe. But it could be someone else. They're always with us. Just the right climate in which to flourish. Spreading FEAR in the name of righteousness. Worf thinks hard about it. Hands behind the back. He goes, vigilance, Mr. Worf. That is a price we continually pay. And the episode comes to a close. So yeah, that was the episode. I guess I'll have to conclude the research another time. But that was a pretty good, really good episode of The Next Generation. And good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show recently on Apple Podcasts. KTB, 35353, Fabulously Sleepy and Slightly Humorous. That says it all. Thanks, Scoots and your team. The intros are my favorite. I couldn't make it to the end. 01123345 56 Katie says pairs nicely with melatonin. I love Sleep With Me. It's very soothing and entertaining sleep aid. Like a lot of listeners, it took a few episodes before I got used to the format, and I've been listening occasionally for 6 to 9 months. It's nice to have Sleep With Me in my tool belt when I know I'm going to need extra help. The creaky dulcet tones, pointless tangents, never get old. I enjoy the variety of the episodes and return to my favorites. Some say there's ads, but it's a podcast, and that's how the podcasts get paid. So personally, it doesn't bother me. Lately, Scoots has been addressing the audience to join Patreon, comparing it to utility. And that might be a little heavy-handed. Okay, thank you, Katie, for the feedback. Multifaceted Miracle Podcast. That's from Pippi Cap. Drew Scooter helps me fall asleep, stay asleep, sleeping on weekends. Once I've woken up and have a little bit more sleepy time, soothes the rough edges during the day. Really value what he does and how much work he puts into it to make it sound so breezy and effortless. Thanks. Unicorn Lover 06 says, it was so boring I fell asleep, so it worked. GD, dude. Tina Boca 1 says, this man's a genius, fell asleep faster than any meditation podcast I listened to. Ivy Darwin from Australia says, oh yes, thanks Scoots, I battled with sleep deprivation over 10 years, tried medicines, and on the first night I listened to your voice and your ramblings, I had a full night's sleep and felt refreshed in the morning. Thanks so much, you're a wonderful human. Consistent solution. Scooter put me to sleep faster than anything else. 10 out of 10 recommend. It used to stay up, body exhausted, mind racing for an hour or two, then wake up 4 or 5 times. Tried all the meditation, bedtime story podcasts. None of them worked, and some I didn't like. But Scoots hasn't failed. I've been using Sleep For about 3 months. Even when I thought, oh no, my mind's more awake, I still fell asleep within a half hour. When I woke up and can't fall asleep, I just listened to the episode, hearing the part I didn't hear before. So thankful. Tawtaws says, I'm looking for the door. Remember, 1 star. This sounds like a 5-star review, though. Remember going to the Blockbuster and having awkward conversations with the person at the cash register? He asks you endless questions about your night, your movies, history of film, length of film, movies with similar lengths, his candy, your candy, cousin's candy. If that experience was comforting for to you, then this is your podcast. For anyone else, yeah, you would probably want to leave. Light Girl 1979 says, this is fabulous. Scooter, thanks for the podcast. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Scoots. Good night, Light Girl. And all of you, I love you. I love it. Says, always works. Thanks for being there. And thanks you, listeners, for being there. All of you that review the show, I really appreciate you taking your time to do that. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because the people who support the show on Patreon. And those people who support our sponsors. So I'm really thankful for everyone that does that. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com, including a show getting ready for its 4th season as I'm recording this. So it might be out, ready for your ears. Start with season 1, start with season 2, start with season 3, start with season 4, or listen to it all in order, listen to it out of order. But just listen to it. It's Within the Wires. You can find it, search it within your podcast app of choice. Within the Wires, one of my favorite podcasts. You really, really don't want to miss out. And that's Within the Wires, Within the Wires, within your podcast app of choice. We're also a proud member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at PRX.org. There's plenty of other episodes here ready to go for you. So you get tucked in, okay? Good night.
All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's 4 different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like, that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Four, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, oh, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, all intro episode came out. Weird, the all night episode. I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky PI. Huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Fair with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out February 25th. Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Fair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, we did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet. And then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those are episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too, and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do. And those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.